Four expectant fathers were in the waiting room because their wives were in the delivery room having a baby. The nurse goes up to the first guy and says, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." "That's odd," said the man. "I work for the Minnesota Twins." The nurse says to the second guy, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." "That's weird," answers the second man. "I work for the 3M company." A nurse tells the third man, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." "That's strange," he answers. "I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." The last man is groaning and banging his head against the wall. "What's wrong?" the others ask. He said, "I work for 7-Up. Well, a good morning to everybody. Happy Father's Day, has already been said to all the men here that are dads this morning. A lot of times Father's Day can end up being the day that the preacher gets to preach a sermon to try to whip men into shape, you know, to get us better at where it is we're supposed to be doing. But my heart this morning is to try to encourage the fathers and the men in general here, not beat them up. I don't know if you realize it or not, we're very, very blessed as a church to have a lot of men here in our church. And I just want to say there are a lot of fathers who are among us this morning who are endeavoring to do a really, really good job as dads. And so I commend you for that. This morning I could look to expound upon all the awesome traits and things that go into being a good father. In fact, some people have done that. They've taken the acronym of father and used the F to say in certain things, the A, T-H. For instance, they might use the F to say that a father is somebody who is faithful or funny. The A might stand for admirable or adventurous. The T for trustworthy or tough. I like that one, tough. Got a tough dad. The H for honorable or honest or hardworking. The E for encouraging or enthusiastic. And the R for respectful or resourceful. I could take those things and we could just go crazy with them. And these are all wonderful traits that we are expected to emulate in order to be what the world thinks a good father is. But I don't know about you, and I'm talking to everybody this morning, but please let me say some specific things to men. I'm sure there'll be some crossover there for the ladies as well. But I don't know about you guys, but there are times that regardless of putting my best foot forward, I always feel sometimes in my heart like if the bar's here, I'm coming in about here someplace. Hello? Now, for you dads and you men in general who feel like, man, I'm just leaping the bar every day, let me just pray a quick blessing over you and you're free to go, okay? Most guys that I know, I don't know if it's something that is partly because of the sentiment that's out there in our world and our culture, or, you know, whether it's the enemy of our souls just trying to make us feel that way, but I just sometimes feel like, you know, I think to myself, I should probably reach out more to my kids, or, you know, I should probably do this. And so every time I'm thinking all this stuff, I'm thinking, oh man, you know, I'm not making it to the summit of what a really good dad looks like. And this week Josh was showing me some things online and I thought, man, that just sums it up so well. How many of you are familiar with Pinterest? Anybody familiar with that? I've looked at it a couple times because something that I was interested in buying, actually, they had a picture of on Pinterest. But my understanding of Pinterest, in part anyways, is that it's a place where you can go and see like things other people have made that you could look to take and try to do yourself. Is that right? So I want to show you some things. These are awesome, right? They're just things that people have done. This first one is called string balloon art. And so, you know, you would go there and you would see how somebody did this, and now you look at it and say, you know, we could use those for the party. Maybe I'll try to make one. And here we go. Here's what it ends up looking like. Right? Right? Nailed it, right? Looks awesome. How about this one here? Here's a hedgehog cake somebody made on Pinterest. And then somebody tried to follow that up by making the same cake, right? Look at the grizzly teeth on that thing there. It's awesome. It's really good, right? How about this one? Somebody posted this on Pinterest, I believe, where they made these hanging glowing lights, and somehow the other person tried it, and this is what they came up with. Right? This doesn't quite have the same look to it. How about this one? Some dad got up, or somebody thought to get up and try to make the kids some, you know, a happy pancake breakfast there, and this is what it actually looked like in the pan there, right? So, you know, we tried, but somehow it just didn't come out. How about this one? This is Minions, I think are their name. Minions. Somebody made a Minion, like, cupcake type thing right here, and this guy here, he nailed it, right? There it is. Wow. How about the Cookie Monster cupcake things here? And then somebody got a hold of that, and it looked like that when it came out. I love this one right here. This is an example of taking your baby and creating a really awesome portrait or a picture of what your little newborn would look like in the back of a dump truck, right? So the dad tries it, and this is what he comes up with, right? just not quite the same. It just doesn't look the same. And then this is my last one for you. This is my last one. This is, anybody know who this is? Elmo. Okay. So Elmo, you see this on Pinterest and you think, you know, I'm going to try to make an Elmo, look-alike Elmo cake. And this is what it ends up. This is what comes out right there. That's what comes out. Yeah. It's not quite the same. Nailed it. Yeah, no, not quite. The bar was here someplace, and, you know, we came in way short of it. So anyways, with that thought in mind, I'd like to entitle what I want to share with everyone this morning, dads, men, people alike. I'd like to call it When Good Is Good Enough. When good is good enough. And actually, when I hear myself say those words, it seems to, in my mind anyways, it seems to carry with it a sense of settling for less or almost an admittance of failure. In fact, if you hang around work sites at all, building projects at all, you'll hear phrases like this: good enough for government work. Bingo. Did you know, I got to add this right here. Did you know what that saying means, right? It's like, it carries with it the connotation, like, it's not perfect, but it's close enough, right? Did you know that when that phrase first came about, it was actually the opposite way around? I was reading about it during World War II. That's the phrase that was used when something met the military standards, which was at that time incredibly high, when they said good enough for government work. But now it's somehow been twisted and turned around. How about this one? Good enough, you can't see it from my house. Right? Can't see it from my house. How about this one? Good enough for the girls I go with. Right? Not sure what all that means, but... Or how about this one? Good enough, that's what they make molding for. Or good enough, that's what they make caulk for. I asked one of the construction guys here in the church, I said, what kind of other phrases are going on out there in that particular world? And Gerald said to me, he said, one of the phrases that's out there is, do your best and caulk the rest, right? Do your best and caulk the rest. All of them seem to indicate not quite good enough, but we're going to let her be. I think for some, for many, we have either been told directly or it has been subtly downloaded to us that good is never good enough. This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to a passage in Scripture where this very idea comes up. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to have some of the verses on the screen, but if you want to be looking at the passage in its entirety, you might want to turn to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start looking at verse 17. This passage in most Bibles is labeled the rich young man. The rich young man. The scene begins by this young man running up to Jesus and actually, literally, falling on his knees. I would say, and in light of the question he's about to ask, I would say that that is a pretty good suggestion or a good outward expression of somebody who's serious about the question they're about to ask, right? I mean, they run up and down to their knees they go, and they ask this question. Here's what he says. You ready? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? To paraphrase the man, what he was saying was, good teacher, what must I do to be good enough spiritually? Right? What must I do to be good enough spiritually? To be able to embrace the life that you came to bring and talk about. What must I do? Now, it's very interesting. Jesus doesn't immediately go to his question. He actually, if you look there, if you're following along in the passage, he actually begins addressing his salutation. Jesus says this. He says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Instead of directly answering his question to start with, Jesus says, he begins to zero in on and get him to focus on this word good. The word good here in the Greek is agathos. And it means, the word this man chose to address Jesus with, means everything and anything that is utterly perfect in nature. We use the word good in English to mean okay. Like, how are you doing today? We say, I'm good. It means everything's okay, right? If we mean something is better than that, we'll say, great, awesome, fantastic, wonderful. But when this word gets used in their culture, in their language, it was the compliment of compliments. He is saying to Jesus, you are the utterly greatest, goodest teacher, preacher, prophet there ever was or ever will be. He's addressing them at that level. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus comes to this, he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Some people have actually used this to say that Jesus was denying that he was God. But if you look a little closer, you'll notice that Jesus didn't object to him calling him good. He didn't say, don't call me that. He's asking him, why do you call me that? He's wanting the man to get to see that he is God and that his salutation was a correct one. So anyways, after Jesus gets done addressing this notion of what good really means and what it's all about, he goes on to say, okay, then here's what you need to do. He said, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, and last but not least, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. The young man replies, and you can almost hear the relief and giddiness in his voice. All these I have kept since I was a boy. So let's just stop and look at this for a minute. Here comes this guy up to Jesus wondering what his status is, his spiritual status is. He's asking Jesus, oh, you know, what do I need to do in order to be good to go? And Jesus, after having a brief discussion about the nature of good, he says to him, listen, don't do this. Don't lie, steal. We all know the don'ts, right? Don't lie, steal, so forth and so on. And you can picture the guy, the young man, saying to himself, he's thinking, okay, all right, no murder, check, right? No adultery, check, right? No stealing, check. No lying, check, right? no cheating, check. Honoring my father and mother, check, check, double check. I am good to go, right? I mean, there's a pause in the conversation. Jesus gives him these things and says, just don't do these things. And the boy says, listen, I haven't done any of those things up until this point. And it says, the next verse says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. So there's a pause in the conversation, and the young man's got to be thinking to himself, I'm all set. I am good to go. I did the things I haven't done. I've checked the list. I've checked it twice, and I've done great. And I get this picture when I think about this scene. I get this picture of Jesus looking at this young man like a father would look at his children that he loves who are coming to him, telling him something that they've discovered. And as the father listens to them talk, it's almost like, you haven't really lived long enough to figure it all out yet. Right? He looked at him and loved him. It wasn't like he was mad at him or upset at him. He looked at him and he loved him. And the conversation ensues again. In classic Columbo style, Jesus says, just one more thing. Just one more thing. Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. What happened was, it tells us that the man's face went from happy to sad. And it ends, that part of the story ends by saying, he went away sad because he had great wealth. This interaction with this rich young man is a little deeper than it seems on the surface. And I want to talk to us about this morning and endeavoring to answer that question, when is good good enough? The story, as we've seen, starts out with a man wanting to know what he needed to do to be good enough for God. Jesus starts by giving him the classic approach of checklists. He gives him the classic approach of doing enough to be good enough. But then you'll notice in the second part of that, Jesus shifts from a checklist of the Ten Commandments, so to speak, to something that was in this man's heart. You see, the first list he gave them, him were the six parts of the Ten Commandments that have to do with horizontal relationships. The checklist, the no murder, the no adultery, those all have to do with these relationships we know on planet Earth. How we're treating other people. And a lot of times, if you think about it, the way we measure ourselves and the way other people measure us is how we treat other people. I met this lady the other day. I'd never met her before in my life. Someone introduced her to me. And we actually engaged in probably a 15-minute conversation there. And in the course of this conversation, she was saying, like, do you know so-and-so? And I would say, yeah, I've met them before. Oh, she said, I really like them. They've been so nice to me. They've been so kind to me. I really, really, really like them. Then in the course of the conversation, she would say, well, do you know such and so-and-so? And I'd say, yeah, I know them too. I don't like them very much. I don't like them very much. They haven't been very nice to me. Now, we're all laughing, but she was saying out loud what most of us keep in up here. Because we are assessing whether somebody is good enough based upon their performance in terms of the relationships they have on human to human on planet Earth. Are you with me? We do it all the time. I do it in my inner self. I just told you. I'm thinking, am I being a good enough dad? I should be doing this. I should be calling more. I should be praying for him more. I'm doing all this. And I'm thinking about what my relationship is, sometimes with my wife and sometimes with my kids. But when Jesus shifts gears here and he moves away from the checklist, he says to the man, he says, one more thing. All you got to do is sell the stuff you got and give it to the poor. What was Jesus doing? He was getting to the first four commands of the Ten Commandments. And do you remember how the first one starts out? You shall have no other gods before me. What had happened? Something had gotten a hold of this young man's heart, even at a young age. Something had got a hold of this man's heart. In this case, it was money. But can I just say, money really wasn't the issue. Money, treasures were not the issue. The issue was, Jesus knew something had gotten a hold of this guy's heart that he needed to be free from. Jesus was drawing his attention to his personal pursuit of God. He was doing great on a human level, on a horizontal level, but something was in the way of his own personal, passionate pursuit of God. See, we can go about assessing how we're doing as dads, how we're doing as men in general, how we're doing as people in general, simply on a human or soul level. Now, it's not as though those things aren't unimportant. They are important. But Jesus was serious when he said, the greatest command, the number one dog command, is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And the second is like it, but it's still second. Hello? Love your neighbor as yourself. This young man, think about this story. We don't know what happens with this guy in terms of his whole life, but at that very moment, when Jesus spoke this to him, he's thinking, I'm not good enough. Right? I got stuff in my life, and I'm not letting go of it. So I'm not good enough. Isn't that how the story ends? He goes away sad, it says. Not mad. He goes away depressed. Because the thing that was standing in his way, he wasn't willing to release. He wasn't willing to let go of. Good is good enough, not when we checked all the boxes of what a decent father is supposed to be, faithful and trustworthy and all those different things. No, good is good enough when you and I are not allowing other things to be more important than God in our lives. Hello? In the verses that follow, I didn't put them on the screen, but in the verses that follow, we find out that the disciples have been eavesdropping on this conversation. The interaction between Jesus and this young man. And you'll find there that Jesus said this, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God or to be good enough. And the next verse says, they found this incredibly troubling. One of the reasons is because they were living with an ideology that they were box checkers as well, and they were thinking about all their horizontal experiences with people and thinking, you know, I haven't murdered, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, and they're checking the box, and then Jesus says these things, and they're upset about it. They say things like, if he's not good enough. And he has the blessing of God, which they thought riches were the blessing of God on someone's life, then how is anyone going to be good enough? Jesus, on the other hand, was saying that blessings, as they understood it, can actually get in the way of loving God. Because they can end up getting in the way of what matters most, as was the case for this rich young man. But then Jesus assures them, they're thinking, how in the world can anybody be saved? How can anybody be good enough? And Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, no one who has left or let go of home, brothers, sisters, mother, or father, those are all these relationships, right? Or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times in this present age and in the age to come. Let me translate that for you. The best thing that you and I can do as a man, as a husband, as a father, is not allow anything to get in the way of our own personal, passionate pursuit of God. If we pay attention to that stuff in our lives and say, God, I'm not going to let anything. If we do so, it will produce a return for us. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, you guys might play the stock market down there, but I'm talking about a real stock market of investment. If you spend as much time and energy investing in a personal, passionate pursuit about me, I'm telling you, I will bless you multiple times over. So in other words, if instead of having our focus on, oh, I got to be a better dad, what we need to do is say, I need to have a passionate heart after God. And as we go after God, God will filtrate down through that, and all these other things will take care of themselves. That's what Jesus said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will take care of itself. A lot of times we have it, you know what I mean, backwards. Things are the opposite. We're thinking, oh, I got to do all this stuff over here and figure all this out and be this to this person and that to that person, so forth and so on. And while we're doing all that, this thing isn't happening at all. Hello? That's how it works. Jesus is saying to this guy, and he says to us as guys this morning, if you will just dig into me, I will show you things. I will do things in your life. I will begin to work through you and use you in ways that you never could have done or gotten to trying to serve this other checklist. Good is good enough when we, listen guys, this is encouraging. Good is good enough for God. Your wife might have another she's another thing, but anyways, good is good enough when we are being intentionally authentic in going after God. When we are allowing Him to work with us about things that need His attention. There is no utterly perfect or good, Rebecca said it this morning, there is no utterly perfect or good Father except Father God or the Godfather. But our good can be good enough to Him when we open up and keep our hearts open to the things that God is wanting to show us, do in us, work through us. That's what matters most to God. That is so freeing when you stop and think about it, because this treadmill of feeling like I never measure up or I'm good enough. Listen, if I'm waking up every day and I'm saying, God, I'm here today. You're my Father. I'm in it with you. And I'm availing my life to you. When you start the day like that, you have put things in their proper perspective. But if I wake up every day and all of a sudden my feet hit the floor and I feel like, okay, I got to get on the treadmill again. I got to try to be all things to all people and be good. What if I'm not? What if I'm not? And you wear out. You just wear out. You wear out. I don't know about you, but I want to nail it. I want to nail it. You know, it may not look like Elmo, but I want to nail the thing, right? I want to do, you know, Jesus, what He did with this whole scene and story was God, it doesn't matter whether it was this guy or some other lady, or He always gets to the heart of the issue. And it's not about being a good person. It's about being a close follower of Christ. Remember, He said to me, after you do that stuff, then come and follow me. Then you're ready to go. Once you unhook from the things that have got you all messed up and entangled up, now you're free to get on with the real life. So I want guys to stand this morning, men in general, and I want, you know, dads, obviously, if you're a guy, you're dad, or I should say if you're a dad, you're a guy. I want to pray for us this morning. Some of you, I had the occasion to talk in the class before this one when we talked about spiritual warfare. And one of the primary strategies of the devil in our lives is accusation. The tool of accusation, you know, just producing self-talk with inside of us. Saying that we're never good enough, we're never going to measure up, we've had past failures, and those failures have resulted in damage to other people, and, you know, I'm just never, ever good enough. I just want to say to you dads this morning, to you men this morning, if you are genuinely honest, I didn't say perfect, I said honest, about going after God, then God says that's good enough. He will work out the wrinkles. He will work out the stains. But what he's really looking for is a heart that says, I'm not perfect at this thing, but I want to go after God. I want to follow Jesus. I want my heart to be focused on that aspiration. I'm just telling you guys this morning, regardless of your failures, regardless of you know what's going on in your world, your life, God considers that good enough. That is when good is good enough. Now there's some work involved in that. There's some muscles that are going to get exercised in that. There's some things in our hearts that will be that will feel painful sometimes. But I'm telling you, that's what God considers good enough. Father, I pray for the guys this morning. I pray for dads that are here, and some of them are, you know, I thinking of the older ones in particular, they're looking back over their nurturing time with their kids and they're saying, oh, could have done better there, or could have, you know, just could have worked out better. And I'm just praying for them, for dads that are here this morning who are living under the past regrets of things that transpired in the rearing of their children. Lord, would you speak to their specific hearts this morning? And I pray that you will cause them to see that although there were shortcomings and things didn't work out just as they had hoped, God, I pray that this morning they will be able to say that they are good in your eyes because they are engaged in a personal, passionate pursuit of you. I pray for dads that are in the midst of it right now. They are in the throes of raising children. And I had a guy say to me one time, he said, children will reveal your weaknesses as a person. And he said, sometimes God uses girls to reveal certain weaknesses, and he uses boys to reveal other ones. When Jody and I were in the midst of having children and we had two girls, I thought to myself, well, hey, apparently I don't need everything worked on. And then we had Hans. Jesus, 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 precious Jesus. God uses those kids in our lives to try to bring formation in us. And Lord, I'm praying for every dad that's in the middle of that right now. Father, I pray that you will help them to see that the best thing they can do for their kids is go after you with all of their heart. It will reap benefits. It will reap rewards to their children like no kind of treasure here on earth ever will. Father, I pray for a general spirit of encouragement to come upon the heart and life of every man here. Help them to see, Lord, that you're not a mean taskmaster. You're not somebody who keeps inching the bar up and up and up and up and up, and we have a hard time reaching it. Lord, you keep the bar at the exact same place it's always been. And that place is there where you'd simply say, don't let anything get in the road of our relationship. And let's walk together. Let's walk together through this journey of life. I pray that you'll anoint each man, each father to do that afresh this day. In Jesus' precious name, I pray these things. Amen.